Welcome to City Heights.
Oh, hold on.
We are a vibrant inner city community in Mid-City, where approximately 72,000 people live in a 3-square-mile area. A significant number of residents are immigrants from Latin America, Asia, and Africa. The City Heights Partnership for Children is a working group of residents, government, nonprofit, and businesses coming together to strategically align resources and services in order for our young people to succeed. The City Heights Partnership for Children's vision is to develop a coordinated community network to support the whole community to thrive. This community has a significant strength in its diversity, the richness of cultures and world experience, strong residents, and beautiful families. However, almost all children in this area live below or near the federal poverty level. Consequences of poverty prevail in the community.
A time machine, a magic wand, a globe made out of gold. No instructions or commandments. Laws of gravity or indecisions to uphold. Printed on the box I see, Acme's built a world to be. Take a chance, grab a piece, give it to believe it. What kind of world do you want? They get it.
Empowering families, transforming communities, and succeeding together.
Good evening. Thank you all for staying. I know it's late, so bravo for all of you for staying this late. I'm Dorothy Zirkel. I'm the Director of Health Services for the Price Family Charitable Fund, Price Charities. I am unique. I am thrilled to follow my colleagues, the last three presenters. Let me just say, from transformative leadership, that Virginia just shared, the University of Virginia, with Dr. Glick and Marnie and David, I feel blessed, I think, to be a transformational leader, in that I am a PHN, I am a nurse, and I work for a funder. I work for the Price family, Price Clubs, Costco's, Ring a Bell, Sam's Clubs, Walmart's, the initial big buying, why buy one toilet tissue when you can buy, 50 at one time? That's who I work for, so I work for a funder, although I have nothing to disclose, and I'll share that in a moment. I am here with my colleague, Dr. Aaron Zaheer, who is the medical director, San Diego Family Care and FQHC in San Diego, City Heights. As I said, we have nothing to disclose, no relationships to disclose. I wanted to start off by showing you City Heights in San Diego, the community, to let the community speak for itself. That is who we have the opportunity to serve in San Diego, as many of my colleagues spoke before me in suggesting who they serve. We serve rural communities, as Dr. Glick said. We serve urban communities. This is an urban setting. Today we're going to talk about identifying the steps of creating a new school-based health center, explain the process of building a new school-based health center, discuss the elements of staffing, patient survey, and the anticipation of buy-in. When you go into a community or you're serving a community, it's about not what you can do for a community or to a community, but with the community. describe the sustainability of the multi-organizational school-based health center home and the partnership model. As a funder, we like to fund projects just like everybody else, but we also like to look at what sustainability is about and be able to take our money and go to the next place and know that we've got sustainability so that when we pull out, that the project doesn't end. As all of us have been funded by NHTSA and everybody else in the world, at least we hope, at some point we work diligently to try to get there, that when we leave, that we leave something behind so that it continues. We don't want these projects to stop, ever, because we pour our heart and souls into it as the leaders of tomorrow. The City Heights Partnership for Children, when we're talking about City Heights, we're talking about this very urban setting, and as the video suggested, it is we have 100% free and reduced lunch at our schools. The Hoover Cluster, it's a Hoover High School. Its cluster is 10 elementary schools, 2 junior high schools that feed into this one high school area that we are targeting at this point. With the work that we're doing with the City Heights Partnership for Children. It's collective impact approach, which we all have a common agenda. It's where everyone is a equal partner, where we have the community, the parents, the school staffs, HHSA, local organizations, FQHCs, all come together and align together and set the common agenda. As I think you were all talking about, really setting a common agenda in the state of Washington. By the way, my daughter is in Spokane at Gonzaga, so I'm loving it up there. It's beautiful. So we look at setting that common agenda, supporting our children, and so that everybody can agree, even when you agree to disagree, and you bring it back to that common agenda of the health and wellness of a child. If they're not in the seat of the classroom, they can't learn. And so we all gather around what is in the best interest of our children. Aligning resources. We seem to always be very fragmented in our resources. And so really having a strategic plan to align all of those resources. Being data-driven in decision-making. How often have we said that, especially in this group? The community schools model, in looking at the school as being the hub, the focus in which our community members feel safe. City Heights is a refugee resettlement area, and when I say that, in San Diego, it's a leading refugee resettlement area. So in this particular community, it's about 70-73% Hispanic or Latino, and then African, not African American, but African. Ethiopian, Sudanese, and then Asian from Vietnam and from Cambodia, Laos. So we really do get resettlement folks coming from a variety of different cultural settings and background and immigration settings, different immigration ways that they've gotten to the United States. So community schools is where this folks can come into a setting where they're safe and they feel safe to practice, and the schools are open, all hours, open for that to happen. So we're looking at community-specific integrated services happening on campus, and again, partnerships. So when we look at all of these schools, these 13 schools that feed into Hoover High School, we look at what the health setting model is, what the health care practice is, and as I don't know if you all know this, but in the state of California, our budget is really bad, really, really bad. And with the school district, they're cutting school nurses. And they really have a lack of sense of knowledge of what the school nurses do and what our public health practitioners really do. And when we look at public health practitioning, we look at communities, our HHSA, our public health nurses working in collaboration with our school nurses, and yet they're cutting them. So we look at what school nurses we have in place, and we've brought all the school nurses together along with our public health nursing to form a leadership, a health leadership group. And so we've come up with our mission, which Health Centers of the City Heights Partnership for Children are committed to promote health and wellness through quality health services, promotion, advocacy, education, to facilitate student access to a medical home in order to maximize student achievement. At in this cluster, we already have Hoover High School has a long-standing school-based health center that has been open for 15 years that has been funded by my agency for the past 15 years. It is not self-sustaining and would not be self-sustaining if we weren't funding it. Rosa Parks is an elementary school that's been open and has had a school-based health center for the past 8 years. And it has a model that works with one FQHC and also is funded mostly by Price Charities and would not also be self-sustaining if we were not in the equation. And so we've had to take a real hard look at this. I am the only health practitioner that works for the Price family. I came into the Price family 6 years ago and started working with the Price family and started looking at some of the models of health giving. We give about $25 million a year away in San Diego, in Israel, Central and South America. And more predominantly, we give about $6 to $7 million a year in this urban community setting. Health was not at the top of the priority list for Mr. Price before I started to come work for them. So when we're talking about nurse leadership, here we have a nurse who's outside of my realm. I've been a nurse for 30 years. I've been in clinical practice. I've been kind of all over the place, actually. But using those skill sets that you just articulated up here is what got me to where I am, and setting that tone for other nurses and other nurses in the nursing universities throughout San Diego now. So we began to look at a new model. How could we create a new model with access for our nursing students throughout San Diego, as well as how could we create access to a health home for all students, not just those that had health care, but all students in City Heights. So Central Health and Wellness is where we wanted to look at. Central Elementary School is 100 years old, and again, it's located in City Heights, and so we started looking at that school. And we wanted to do it correctly, so we wanted to survey the staff and survey the parents there. I'm going to kind of go through this quickly because I want to really get to the meat of the Health and Wellness Center. We did a convenience sample of the parents and of the staff, and I thought we did pretty well. We got 72% response from the staff and 65% from the parents, an N of 682 of parents and an N of 65 from the staff. Who would you use the Health and Wellness Center during school break and vacation time? It's a year-round school. All of our elementary and junior high schools in this cluster are year-round. So we wanted to set the hours of this health and wellness clinic, so we wanted to know would they use them. You know, here we have 89% saying absolutely they would use it off hours. So we wanted to make sure that the FQHCs were going to be there. Healthcare visits of their children. Did parents miss work and did children miss school? Because we were looking to set the baseline to the school staff, to San Diego Unified School District, as to why they needed to have a school nurse there, and why we needed to use their facility to put the FQHCs on this school-based center. So, did parents miss work? Absolutely, they did. And did children miss school? Yes, they did. Busy slide here. Parents, services they might use for their child. Again, kind of looking just baseline. We did this survey before we opened the clinic, and now we've just redid the survey after a year of being open. So again, looking at would they use it for illnesses for their child? Would they use it for immunizations, physical exams, dental services, et cetera, et cetera? Again, just trying to get a baseline. Healthcare insurance. In City Heights, we have two FQHCs that service about 98% of this population. So FQHCs, as all of you know, serve, they're federally subsidized, so they serve not only the Medicare, Medi-Cal population, but they also serve the uninsured population because they get federally subsidized. So here our families are saying, yes, most of them are that, the Medi-Cal population, or healthy families, or have none. Usual place of care, they either go to Mid-City Clinic or La Maestra, the two FQHCs, or they go to a clinic, which are these two. We've changed that question so that our population understands what the question is that we're asking. The school staff, we engage them in what type of benefits did they think that the health center on site would have. Appropriate to their students? Did they think it was an appropriate place to be providing care? What type of care did they want to have for their students? And then school staff, what type of problems did they think that their students were having? I'm flipping through this because I want Dr. Zaheer to be able to speak. Again, baseline, coordination of health promotion programs, improving in, this is an area that we can really concentrate on. Here's an area we can concentrate on that we have in the past year because the staff said that wasn't so good at the school. Again, here, age-appropriate comprehensive health education, an area that we can concentrate on. Here again, areas for concentration. The new model, San Diego Unified School District, we had to do contracts, shared space, construction. The FQHCs for the medical home provide the operation and services. The funding provided was through philanthropic agency, myself, convening the expertise in bringing the model together, in knowing that it could be fully sustainable in bringing the FQHCs, health and human services. Service-based learning with San Diego State School of Nursing, Point Loma School of Nursing, USD School of Nursing, nurse practitioners doing internships as well as school-based learning with San Diego State nursing students and faculty on site. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Zaheer. This is the model in which our students flow.
There are only four things on this.
Oh, Dr. Zaheer, you have to talk into here because it's recording.
Oh, okay.
The nurse giving the doctor directions.
That's good. Okay, so there's this is actually looks a lot more complicated than it really is. There are four very important ingredients to creating this model. The first is the funders who built the building for us and gave us a lot of encouragement and brought people together and got the school district to move and to construct the building, which was very amazing on Dorothy's part. And then there is the school nurse is right up here. Is that the school nurse? The school nurse is the person that coordinates everything. That's sort of the place where everybody goes. The students go to the school nurse decides if it's something she can take care of or if it's something that's going to have to go to the clinics, which are these two. This is one FQHC right here and the other FQHC right there. So the school nurse decides who they're going to go to, and through the school nurse, literally at the physical door as well as figuratively, and that she decides that's where they're going to go. They're going to go to either one of the clinics and see a doctor, nurse practitioner here, or to the other clinic and see a nurse practitioner there. These two clinics share the same space, the same three exam rooms, and we both work half time, 20 hours each, because that's part of a licensing requirement. Also, we see the patients. We provide a whole array of other services, referrals, specialists, a whole bunch of other things, and then give the information back to the school nurse. Why do we have two FQHCs? One, because we make money. So this can sustain itself with the billing that the two clinics bring in. The other thing is that these are the two dominant healthcare providers of the area, so we wanted to make sure that the kids who belong to each one of these FQHCs got taken care of, at the school to try to create a community school with us serving as many of the people as possible. The FQHC's benefit in that we get a location to work. We don't pay rent for the building because you guys built it. What we provide in return is the 30% of the kids that you saw that were uninsured, we see them for free. Okay, so the students benefit in that they get free care for the ones who are uninsured. We benefit, the school benefits in that the information flow back and forth and the coordination of care and the follow-up is absolutely tight. And if we can sustain this, and we have actually been able to prove that we can financially sustain it from the get-go. I think within 3 or 4 months of opening the clinic, it sees enough patients to survive.
We have a feeder pattern with three schools that actually feed in that are 2 to 3 blocks away from Central Elementary School. So with that, we serve over 3,000 kids, plus we see 0 to 5 at the school-based health center. So 0 to 18 are served at Central Elementary School. So we have Cherokee Point, Edison, and Wilson that all feed into the school-based health center. And that's the staffing through the two FQHCs. I think I'm going backwards, and those are all the services provided, behavioral health, mental health, and 2012 we have a mobile dental clinic that's going to be coming. It is fully sustainable at this point in time, so thank you very much.